Welcome to Spiritual Changemakers, the podcast that guides you through tough times with practical tools and inspiring stories. I'm Andrea Thomas, your host and the Sacred Transitions Coach. Join us as we hear from spiritual changemakers who have connected with their higher power and overcame adversity. Whether you are navigating a difficult transition or seeking to deepen your spiritual practice, our podcast provides guidance to help you find magic in the change. Come on this journey of self-discovery, empowerment, and transformation with us and unlock your potential to become your best self. I'm so excited because we are coming back today with our guest from last week. Right after we have finished our podcast episode, I immediately messaged him and I said, oh my God, we had such an amazing conversation. And I feel like we were not over. I just felt it that we still had so much to cover and discuss about. So I was super excited today to bring back Piotr, continue our conversation today about mindfulness, about exercising, and we're going to give you a lot of tips and tools today.
Hello to everyone. Hello from the bottom of my heart. Hello, hello. And I'm super grateful again to be back a week after.
I know. I'm so happy we made it happen. Like, it was super spontaneous when we made it.
Absolutely. I do believe as well that everything is like a serendipity and everything just flows and comes into at the right time, the right connection, the right vibration, frequency is just pulling us together. So I'm super grateful to be back here.
Yeah, it's me too. And I know last time we talked so much about your story and how you got to do what you are doing today, which is about your mission, which is mindfulness combined with exercising. So it's like a very different approach and healthy way of living where you are combining these two together. For those who haven't listened to the previous episode from last week, please go to the replay, go and listen to that one to make sure you get a sense of who Piotr is and what he's all about, because today we are going to dive deeper into some tips and tools around mindfulness, exercising, and a lot of juicy things. I'm super excited. So tell us a little bit about your mission and about your business. Tell us more what is about.
I think the first thing, let's just ground ourselves, and this is a tip and a tool that I'm going to share straight away with you. And this is something that has truly changed the way I show up before meetings. If there's any type of friction or life and the world is challenging me, this is a very quick way for you to truly connect with yourself, connect with your breath, and be mindful. So if you don't mind, let's do this for a minute. And it's going to be a beautiful practice where you're going to place one hand on your heart center and the other hand on your diaphragm belly, and whichever hand resonates more, it doesn't matter if it's right or left. And I invite you, if it's safe to do, to close your eyes. Close your eyes and just connect with the natural flow of air that is entering your body and is leaving your body. Allowing now the air to pass through your nose into your diaphragm, expanding the belly like a balloon, and gently bring it out through the mouth, gently, as if you'd be breathing out through a straw. And another cycle of breath, breathe into the nose. And let it all out. Last time, breathe in consciously. Feel the appreciation for that inhalation, that gift, and let it go. As you give, you receive, and then you let go and you give back. Coming back, you might want to open your eyes, shake off your hand, and back to this energy and this space. And isn't this just a wonderful way to truly ground yourself and feel at peace at any time during the day when you feel that there's a lot of things going on around you and so many things are out of our control? We are always in control of how we breathe and what we want to achieve through our breath. And I know we're going to be talking a lot about breath today because it is a huge part of the way I am now activating my nervous system and also helping my clients through the breath to reconnect with either a more energetic being that they want to be or a more calmer being that they want to be. Mindful Fitness and MyFit Coach has, as you mentioned as well in the first part, and whoever hasn't listen to the first part, please go and check out the first part, because we definitely went deep in some of the things that we were sharing in that first episode. But mindful fitness, so am I fit, is it's a portmanteau. It's a merging of the two words. MI stands for mindful, fit, fitness. And about 11 years ago, as I was going through my cancer journey and really a deeper awakening and reconnection with my body and the body sensations and my mind, and understand the thoughts that they're not me, it's just everything is, thoughts are not good or bad. I started to tap in to training the body to achieve a goal. It was a strength goal. It was initially, it was a very much a visual goal. I wanted to look a certain way. I wanted to really have a physique that is going to show that I'm a strong being. And I've started to notice that with the fitness bit, with the strength bit, with the cardiovascular bit, the mindfulness aspect is completely neglected. And I found that it's the greatest way to tap in to your subconscious and your conscious and start playing with the brainwave frequencies as you start moving your body and really burning the muscle tissue. Because once you feel a burn, once you push your body to an extreme, it's almost like you're tapping into your subconscious mind, because you're able to go from consciousness to unconscious and subconscious. And suddenly all of these become either working together or working against each other. There's a powerful tool that when you start moving the body in a certain way and become mindful, I always like to say as well to whoever have the privilege of training, to close your eyes, because the eyes are giving you the perception, the perspective, the projections as well. Mm-hmm. It's incredible that we have our sight, but a lot of the things that we really want to go deeper in are far beyond the sight, are far beyond that sense. And only then we can re-tap into the feelings, the burn, the challenges of the movement in a specific type of sequence of going through a strength training, cardio training, etc. So I like to incorporate mindfulness, meaning no judgment, no comparison. It's not like I want to be better than last year, or I want to be better than he or she. There's no judgment. So it's not like you're giving out to yourself and being like, I should have done this better. Why haven't I? We want to really, first of all, understand that you've already showed up, and you showing up is already a step forward to become a healthier, more conscious being that is connected to the body sensations through mindfulness and movements combined together. And in all fairness, we live also in a very busy life, busy world. So we all want to have mindfulness, movement together, and doable. The results that are coming from playing around with mindfulness in your training sessions and then also focusing on your breath can give you an even powerful and more deeper connection to your body, your mind, and the energy that is just holding space in that body that you have.
Yeah. And what would you say about the results that you are getting? Would you say that accelerate the results on the physical body?
Absolutely. Mindful movements and mindful fitness, what it does, it allows you to not only drop the judgment and comparison, but what it actually allows you to do as well, it allows you to go deeper and understand that you're in control of the way your body moves and the way the breath flows. So the results that are achieved by anyone that goes through mindful fitness, actually the results are showing a being that wants to feel good in their body, not just look good. Mm-hmm. Because this is the biggest transition that you will experience. Once you start understanding that it's not about looking good, you actually probably will not be satisfied with the way you look. Because you know yourself, looking back at pictures of myself as well, I had so many moments where I thought I'm looking a certain way and I wasn't satisfied with it. But actually now when I look back, I sense how much pain that boy that is in the picture, me, had when looking at that picture, because I wasn't satisfied with the way I look, because that was my main priority. I want to look a certain way. Yeah. But in the last few years, and this has been groundbreaking, I want to feel good in this body. I want to own this body. I understand that this body is ever changing. I will be getting older, and that is amazing. I cannot wait to just embark on this journey in a healthy body, in a healthy mind, and being able to show up as just the greatest version of myself. So there's that moment where the result speaks louder, because the result is all about you feeling amazing in your own body rather than looking. And what is happening then, the funny twist and a plot twist of the universe is that then you see yourself through the lens of love. You don't see yourself through the lens of, wow, this body is actually amazing because it's serving me. And then feel good, look good, boom, merging together.
Yes, I love that. And the order, from what I heard you sharing, is that it's important the first time to prioritize feeling good. And then by feeling good, it's like giving your body the love and appreciation when you feel good where you are right now and exactly how you look, and knowing that by giving that appreciation and love, you can actually work with your body, like befriending your body. It's like the relationship you are building with your body, befriending it. And then it's so much easier to also look good because you give that, it comes from the inside out. No?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no stopping for your light to shine brighter, because the feeling good sensations in the body are just, they have to have an output. They have to. So suddenly you have people around you asking you, what have you done? What is the magic formula? I want to look this way. By look, they mean feel this way. So this is the biggest kind of sometimes misunderstanding that we might be having, that we feel like, oh, we need to look a certain way to be accepted, and then we're going to feel good because we're accepted by the way we look. No, it's the other way around. And that is the power. And then when you start really embodying the feeling good, you start to really be this being of love and just compassion, and just the energy will just keep on attracting more beautiful energies to you.
Yes. And I know even with me, since I started on my travels, I've noticed how I was literally like a magnet for people around me. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't really get it. It's not like I look so different. But I felt very different than how I felt before. I felt very empowered, very, very good with myself. And I think this is what it does. When you get to a point where you feel so good with just who you are in this moment, if you care a lot about the looks, then know that is going to come afterwards. Because it's also when you love yourself, isn't it, that it's so much easier to also prioritize how you take care of your body, what you eat, exercising, and nourishing yourself.
100%. I think we should touch on something that is so vital and so important for people to stay consistent as well on whatever path they choose. And that consistency basically comes for a deep why and a deep reason. Why are you doing this? Why would you want to work out? Why do you want to eat healthier? It's almost like we want to unpack the reason, because we might feel we want this end result and this is exactly what we're aiming to achieve. But actually, once you start stripping back and understanding what is the reason, maybe the person wants to feel more connected because with their health and in their family, there's somebody that went through an illness or they are battling an illness. So that is a huge, powerful why for igniting that health inner being from within and getting that fuel for you to stay consistent and for you to be determined to keep going. There is no separation between physical and mental health. It's so important to know a big enough why. And that's exactly what I do with all my clients, to make sure whoever comes with an outcome in mind, I go, let's go back. Let's reverse the process.
Let's rewind.
Let's rewind. You want to look good for summer. Amazing. You want to look good for your wedding. Incredible. You want to look good because post-pregnancy. All is amazing. I want to find that deeper connection to your why. So then you can use that during moments where you're going to feel like, I don't want to, I don't feel like. And that is the moment where you're going to tap into that big enough why to be like, you know what? Okay. Body, mind, energy, let's work together and let's just be this beautiful being that we can be.
Yeah. And it's so amazing because I was remembering when I was working with one of my clients and she was saying, I want to have more energy. And then I started asking her about the habits. What are you eating? What about the exercise and mindfulness? All these things to incorporate. And she was telling me that her diet was like absolute terrible, almost fast food every single day. And then she was saying that she doesn't really exercise. So then the same as you were saying, it's like asking, okay, what is it that you want the energy for? So getting to that point of, even it's okay, this is your result that you want the energy and you want to look better, because that was another thing. She was like, I started gaining weight and I don't feel good. So it's like going deep into the reasons, because people, as we know, they change either because they desire something, the result that they desire, or there is so much pain that they are going through right now. Maybe someone gained so much weight that they cannot even look at themselves into the mirror. Yes. So understanding what is it, because you can be pulled or pushed by your desires. And tell me a little bit, what are the most common like resistant points that come when it's about for people to start creating these new habits, like a new lifestyle, because it's a new lifestyle that you create when you start focusing on how do I feel? And then with that, it's the look as well. Mm. What are the biggest resistant points that you see in people that are coming?
I believe that we are beings that sometimes revert to overcomplicating things. Mm. We don't like to start, or we don't want to start with the basics, because we want to already go into a full-on spectrum of things and show me the destination. I want to get there without actually accepting that every change has to, as you mentioned, there's a desire or there's a big breakdown that turns into a breakthrough. But every single thing has to be part of the journey that you're on already, meaning that every step that you take towards it has to be something that you're able to fulfill almost every single day. So you were not overcomplicating things. So we're going back to basics. We're going back to our breath, going back to just simple movements, going back to just maybe 2 minutes of mindfulness if you haven't done meditations or mindfulness before, going out in nature and observing nature without judgment. And if anything shows up, that's okay. Witness it. Don't judge yourself for it showing up. So I do believe that we have this mindset of let's do things in a grandiose thing. Let's meditate for an hour. Let's do a breathwork journey for 90 minutes. Let's do movement. If we also don't have the right guide and the community that will be supporting us, it's quite hard to keep on showing up with that in mind. So I think overcomplicating is definitely a thing that I see constantly. Also, people truly investing their time in believing in their excuses. And now, excuses are valid, right? They've served you. I believe that everything that we have told ourselves and we have become, because everything that you say attaches you, as we said in episode one, your body holds on to your words, your phrases, your beliefs, your thoughts, your ideas. So you become it. So your excuse is so vital for you. So excuse, for example, I don't have the time, right? It's one of those excuses that everyone at any point uses. And I'm super grateful to have gone through all the excuses myself.
Yeah.
So every time somebody tells me something, I'm like, I know, I've been there. I know exactly what I mean. Very vital. I never diminish an excuse. I never say, no, this is not valid. No. But there's ways to work with the person and see how much energy they invest in being with that excuse, or how far they already on their path to wanting to change and having that big enough why. Starting to, again, unpack your excuses and finding the big enough why is quite a big way of showing up for your truest, most authentic, greatest self, and then going forward rather than staying still, staying in this moment of, my life is over. I'm too old, too fat, too thin. I'm a woman. I'm a man. I'm this and that. I've got 6 kids. I work all the time. I always like to say to people, you always, always, always have time to find a minute or two or three or five. And that's enough. And the shock that comes from this kind of realization, what? 5 minutes of breathwork and meditation? Yeah. 5 minutes of movement? Yeah. And then what you will start observing is that your body will start appreciating the sensations that it is going through. And you will automatically want to do more. And then suddenly from 5, it becomes 10 minutes. Suddenly you'll be able to combine mindfulness and fitness and breathwork. And then suddenly you'll just understand how big the routine and the habits that you're creating has an impact on the rest of your life. Because whatever we're talking now, even fitness-related mindfulness, all of this, it's just a percentage of your day. But this, you're doing this to impact the rest of your day, the rest of your week, and the rest of your month. And that is then the power that you see, wow, I've been meditating not to become better at meditation, but to be better at life.
Yeah. As Emily from Mind Valley, Emily Fletcher. We saw her at Mind Valley University. She's saying that that's the reason why you meditate, to become better of life. And with the excuses, the way I like to play with them and with my clients is I ask them, is that really true? Is that a universal truth? A lot of times where someone brings you an excuse and making it a game and seeing what is a different perspective. So this is for you, for those that are listening. So when you bring an excuse, is we know, because we all done it, we all been there where it's like, oh, but it's hard to exercise. I used to hate exercising. I swear, I used to hate exercising. And now, if I don't exercise for a few days, I'm like, oh my God, I have to go and exercise. Yeah. It almost became like my drug, my addiction. And I look at it as I'm such a good addiction.
Yes.
But it's really playing, though. It's playing even with your excuses. And at the end of the day, as we know, when something is truly a priority, you are going to make the time when something
absolutely
matters.
Absolutely. And then you just really start seeing how one thing will lead you to the next thing and the next thing. And then suddenly you will be absorbing all the modalities, because every single thing by modality, fitness, a bit of breathwork, meditation, journaling, a morning routine, an evening routine, a walk in nature, connection and community, watching a podcast, absorbing, feeling, questioning. I love when people question what I do. I love it, because I always believe that I am not only a teacher and a guide, but I'm the student. Yes. And I want to learn from you. We're all teachers and students on this realm and on this world. But what you said as well, 11 years ago, I didn't work out. For me, working out equaled being bullied or being a bully. So that was for me a big separation from working out. So moving then again, day by day, slowly understanding that my why is to be healthy. How can I be healthy? I need to move the body. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
I want physical health, going through my cancer journey and then healing from it. I understood I need to connect with the body sensations and feeling the burn in the muscles and understanding how everything works. And it's all based on physical activity and health and exercise. So I understood that, okay, I need to drop the story of the bully. And of course, it wasn't an easy process, but find the solution in getting the bigger picture of, okay, I'm doing this because my overall health deserves it for me to move more for. And then suddenly now, as you said, I love this addiction. I am like fully, I love it. And I make sure as well that everyone that comes around me and they start complaining about working out, I'm like, you obviously haven't worked out with me, but I'm doing this in a fun way, in an encouraging way, when sweating is detoxing. And I'm just like, I'm encouraging it all, because I do believe that once you start playing around with the emotional state, when you go through an activity, whether it's reading a book, walking, journaling, or working out, you need to start playing around with the thoughts that are showing up. By that, I mean, if you start having I don't believe in a monologue. I feel like we have a dialogue and a full conversation in our minds, with our beings. So I do believe that if you start having this kind of fun interaction, it's like, oh, come on, you can do this. One more minute. You got this. Come on. There's a bit of sweat. So what? And it's a bit of detoxing. And I'm always saying, you're detoxing your past stories. You're detoxing your pain. You're detoxing of your beliefs and your conditioning and your programs that don't serve you anymore. Mm-hmm. So please sweat as much as possible, because the body is releasing it to get rid of it.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm in Croatia and we went on a bolster and we went on a cliff to jump from there. And I was looking, I'm like, oh my God, my heart is like racing. I'm so afraid to do this. I cannot do it. And I noticed my mind like playing with me. And I'm like, it's not the first time I do this. I'm like, come on. And then I'm not only going to jump, but I'm going to jump with an intention. I'm letting go of all of the fears of everything that's holding me back. And then I jumped and it was like, oh, so amazing. And this is where talk back to your mind, because it's not in a control. You can take the control over, and it's not about, hating, or it's about befriending and playing. As we keep talking, I think we are both so playful. And he's like, play with your mind, make jokes, stop taking it so freaking serious.
Yeah, 100%. So, I agree.
We have two things you mentioned there for the resistance that comes. We have overcomplicating things and excuses. Is there anything major that you would say comes up when it's about the resistance for people that comes out when they embark on this lifelong journey, I would say?
I do believe that people on a conscious level feel like they would like to change, but everything that is part of their past is holding them back. And it's almost like they are putting on this heavy backpack with their beliefs and past story. And they're so invested in believing and telling that story over and over that it became part of their reality right now. So that's why I mentioned the two, because the resistance there and the kind of friction of, I want to change, but is it going to be hard? Maybe some of the beliefs I can hold on to. So there's a lot of that as well this has been a huge game changer for me when I realized that I am none of my thoughts, not the good ones, not the bad ones. And I started to really focus on being the awareness behind it all, because that really made me connect deeper on letting go and seeing and observing and being like, wow, that program that used to serve me. And I can see that as well in my clients and with people showing up with the purest intention of, yes, I want to change, but that actually means that I need to step out of my stories. And they have been a big protection mechanism for many years. Yeah. And an example that I always like to give is, because a big part of what I do is movement. Of course, for me, physical health is very important. I always ask people, tell me about your physical experiences through your life. And people go deep into their injuries and car accidents or whatever it is. And of course, everything sounds very real and fresh. And then I go deeper. There's this switch that I'm like turning. I'm like, do you realize that if you, for example, had a shoulder injury, probably that shoulder has pretty well healed. It is the other one that is now overused because you're so conscious of not using the one that you thought it's still injured. And of course, there's a process of finding out, physiotherapy and doctors, of course. But the story that the person comes with, oh, no, I have a bad knee, hip, whatever it is, coming back to this is, I believe my story and how can I change without maybe changing my story too big, too much.
Yeah. And this is where I like to use the reframing and looking at your past stories and really asking yourself, is the way I have been looking at my past, at my experiences, at my stories, is it still serving me? Maybe it served you for a while, for a long time probably, but right now, what you want to create in your life, to ask yourself, is it still serving me? And if it's not, to ask yourself, how can I look at it from a different angle, from a different perspective? Because at any given story, any given experience, it has so many different angles that you can look at it. Yeah. So by shifting and changing that, you can allow yourself to start creating a new change. And I know sometimes it is hard to do it on your own. That's why when you feel that you are stuck, it's very important to work with professionals, to ask for support, like Piotr or myself, ask for support if you really want to create that change and you feel that you are just not able to move through it.
I truly believe what you said. It's exactly the way I feel about the life journey that we're on as well. I do believe that everyone should have a coach, a mentor, a therapist, a professional, a supporting system, because the path that we're on sometimes might be, it's almost like there is so much fog or mist that we can't see, or the obstacles are so big that we think that this is the end of our path. So we have to confirm to whatever society told us to be part of. And our path, let's leave that alone for a second. But in fact, the obstacle, once you're guided, or once you have somebody else to talk to and be able to understand what everything that you were doing so far and everything that you're doing now with your coach or your mentor can actually support you. to see that this obstacle, it's not a big obstacle. I always like to say, together, holding hands, we'll be able to go further. Because I will be able to see something that you might not see. And you will see something that I don't see, because we all have a different lens on. I see this world in a completely different way. And of course, I worked on seeing it that way. This has not come to me. People often, this is another thing, people often say to me, oh, you're so lucky, or you've got this gift. How are you so positive? I'm like, it's work. Yes. It's hard work. I have days when I wake up and I'm not feeling like it. The thing that I feel differentiates me from a lot of people is that I don't like to change my emotional state or my emotional well-being just to be positive. I accept it. If I'm sad, I really want to go deeper in and understand, why am I sad? What has happened in the last few days, in the last week, that now suddenly struck with me? So I use journaling as a big part of that journey, so I can really understand and write down and see and observe what the feelings are connected to that. I work every single day on my overall physical and mental being, because the mind can play many tricks. And the minute it feels like you're in a state of doubt or a state of inadequacy, or you're going back into your story of I'm not good enough, it will start feeding you, unfortunately, with more messages that will not be supported at that time. So your role in all of this is to notice it, become aware of it, spot it. And what I like to do whenever I can, remove myself from the space that I'm in. So I like to then go for a walk. I like to remove myself. So if I love my home, I love it. And it's such beautiful energy in my home. But there's moments where I almost feel like, wow, I feel caged. I need to release. I need to remove myself. And I do. And then I see nature. And then I observe dogs and birds. And I'm like, wow, okay. I can find the peacefulness and the calmness now in everything that is happening. So there's a lot of things that you still have to work on. And every time people say to me, oh, you're so lucky, I always give that beautiful quote that I'm going to share with you as well. Luck is preparation meeting the point of opportunity. That's all that it is. We constantly, every single day, prepare a little bit towards your health, your wealth, your success, your love, your relationship, your connection, your community, whatever it is, work, career. That preparation always will be rewarded, because then you'll be able to spot. And with mindfulness, breathwork, and movement, you will be able to spot opportunities, because they will just be, as you said, magnetically showing up. They were there, but now you're able to, wow, I see them now. This person contacts me. This is happening for me. And it's all happening for you.
Yes. And you mentioned some really important things there, where you said, if you find yourself that you are just in a bad mood or in a negative loop that I would say we all go through, then make sure you change your environment. And that can look in any different way for everyone, but change your environment and then present with what you are doing in that new environment, instead of keep feeding over and over the negative loop or the bad emotions. But I definitely agree with you that it's so important when you are like in a lower state to feel those emotions instead of bypassing or trying to change them right away. Because I believe in order for you to shift out of it, they want to be seen and felt first. They want to be acknowledged. And after that, it's so much easier to create the shift because they have been seen. Like anything what you resist persists. And that's exactly how it is with your emotions too. If you resist them, they are going to keep persisting there. And it's going to be much harder to shift out of it. So it's all overcoming that fear, no, of feeling your feelings. The fear of maybe being sad, of feeling the grief, of feeling the loss. For me, recently, I just had to feel the shame and guilt that I've been feeling around certain areas within my business. And it was so hard. But it's by doing that, you are creating the healing.
Once you acknowledge, you give yourself permission to drop the maximum weight that is added to that thought, that feeling, that emotion. By that, if you don't observe And if you don't stay in an emotion, it will come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
It will be, everything is stored. And at the right time, whenever the mind decides, whatever, because sometimes we're trying to be in control, but a lot of the time we might be affected by things like seeing our somebody that looks similar to our ex-partner, or somebody that reminds us of our family reunion. And we will be drawn into thoughts or emotions that we thought we dealt with, but we haven't. So emotions and thoughts, they will keep showing up until you actually stay with them without judgment. And I know it's painful. I know it. But remember as well that there's a lot of many things that you can do that will help you go through that in a much more lighter way. And once you remove the weight that you attach, or you've attached obviously on a very unconscious level to the emotions and the thoughts and your past experiences, you start feeling that, wow, you're unpacking yourself. You're understanding that this is the befriending of the mind and the body. And you start tapping in to you being the most authentic self, where you don't hide your emotions. I'm sad. I'm sad. Am I feeling overwhelmed? I have moments where I feel, thank you so much for sharing, Andrea, about the shame that you felt, because same thing here. Sometimes I'm getting into a full blown thought, emotional kind of experience where I think, am I on the right path? Am I doing this? All of these things, they do show up, but then we become, with the awareness, with the mindfulness, movement and breathwork, we become these beautiful creators and co-creators of our life. And we start really understanding, wow, there's still that little program that is in us that has served us, and it's still showing up. And you know what? I see you, little program. I got you. I also don't believe in fully erasing all of your programs from the past, because, as I said, they served us throughout our life, and they might sometimes show up. But when they show up, what I really would like everyone to do is acknowledge them. Be like, aha, I remember this. Wow, it's still there. But you know what? It's okay. I see you. I park you. But you know what? I'm sending you love, and I'm sending you true blessings and understanding that right now, I don't need you anymore. I can let go, because now I'm stepping in my fullest power and in my most authentic, vulnerable self as this emotional being that is not scared of being sad, overwhelmed, etc. I am fully embodying everything that is going on in my life.
Yes, and a beautiful exercise I also like to do on myself and with my clients. If you have a hard time feeling your feelings, maybe you are at the beginning of your journey and it's still so hard for you to be with your feelings, I love to do the exercise where literally for 30 seconds, so you put the timer on your phone for 30 seconds, where you're like, for 30 seconds, I'm going to allow myself right now to feel, for example, the shame without any judgment. And this is the key, as you also just mentioned previously, without judgment, because if you feel your feelings, but you judge them, then you don't do shit.
Yep.
You don't move forward. You don't make progress. So you allow yourself within those 30 seconds to feel it without any judgment. And after that, you locate it within your body. See, where is it in your body? You locate it, and then you imagine, pull it out of your body, and you just throw it into the trash. Yeah. And I love this exercise because it's also simple. You can visualize it, you can see it, and then you really feel the shift within yourself, within your body. And Pio, we were talking like so many things, and this conversation, I love it. It sounds so juicy. As I knew, you know, we have, well, I would say, a very beautiful flow, beautiful connection. But tell me, relating the mindfulness and the exercise, you have mentioned quite a few different tips and tools, I would say, throughout our conversation, from breath to start 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes of mindfulness, of exercising, to journaling. You also said journaling is a big part of your day-to-day life to help you understand yourself and so on. What would you read, any other tools that we can give to our audiences right now that they can start applying today if they want to go into this journey of feeling and looking good?
With pleasure, with honest pleasure. I think that a lot of people right now are focusing so much on morning rituals and morning routine But I like to start it in the evening time. So literally when I'm in bed, I'm about to snooze and go into this, you know, different brainwave frequencies. I make sure that I count all my blessings and gratitude that I was able to receive throughout that day. Because then I'm falling asleep with an inner smile and my subconscious delivers. Because whatever you feed your subconscious at the last few minutes, there's different science on it. It could be half an hour, hour, a minute. But just in that little pocket, you're in charge because you're already staying in bed. Don't think about everything that was overwhelming you, that you had no control over. Let go. And just focus on the little things that brought you joy and happiness. And if you can build it from reverse, from, let's say, go to bed at 10 p.m., 9 p.m., 8, 7, 6, go back. And slowly, there's no rush here. And it could be just one thing that you keep on repeating and then start building on that one thing, all the other things that are amazing. But be really in that moment. The moment, and gratitude has been actually researched so right now. And it's such a powerful tool. And it's not about being grateful for the car or the house, but being able to see the smile of your loved one, being able to see a plant grow, being able to have your dog around you, reading two pages of a book, being conscious about your breath, being in bed, having bed sheet. All these little things, that's exactly how I built. It's almost like a preparation for the next day. Because then I wake up, and I wake up, quality of sleep is super important as well. So it's not about quantity, but quality of sleep. And when I wake up after a couple of cycles of really deep sleep, I make sure that I go into a meditative flow, a meditative state. Now, why I do that in the first couple of minutes after wake up? Because there's still that lovely dance between our brain waves as you're still a little bit like, oh, am I still sleeping? What's going on? So you can really tap in to a deeper meditative state as you continue as you meditate, sitting up, lying still in bed, or just focusing on your breath. That's good enough as well. But don't allow, and this is the big thing for me, don't allow the outer world to control your inner world. Meaning your television is off, your Instagram is off, your social media, it's all off. You are focusing on you because only then you can deliver from your overflow of your cup. Big and super important for me every single morning is to take an ice cold shower. And it's again, build it up. Don't be scared. Don't run away from this conversation. It shows the discipline that you have to go in. I'm not saying I love cold showers because I don't. Okay. But I know that the minute I turn on the tap, something happens in my body. And what I do then, I start saying out loud or some bouncing. I start jumping around. I'm like Tony Robbins, jumping just with the cold shower running over my body. But I start also saying, I'm abundant. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. I'm successful. I'm joyful. I'm love. I am great. La, la, la. And I just literally like, and there's a playlist of tracks where are literally like boosting my mood and dopamine and serotonin. I can feel all the chemicals in my body just going wild. And then this big, really huge practice that has changed everything for me, which is mirror work and self-care, self-love, mirror work. This has put so much love into my being and so much opportunities of communicating, articulating exactly what my spirit, my soul wants in this realm, in this human body. Mm-hmm. And so basically what I've noticed when I first read about this and then I saw a beautiful talk done by Lisa Nichols. She does that as well. And I slightly modified her version. Feel free to take the tips and the tools and the strategies. And if you want to modify, add a couple of things that will be more suited to you, by all means do. Whatever I do, I've tested, I had to go through it in a different order. And it suddenly became my routine. So feel free to use as much as I'm sharing here and make it part of your routine. Just make sure that you really start loving having a ritual and a routine for yourself. You matter the most, because then everyone else can matter as well on that same level. But yeah, with the mirror work, it was profound because, and it's still profound, because the initial couple of days when I started to look at myself in the mirror, and it's all about looking into your eyes and really penetrating that soul. I do believe the eyes are the gateway, the doorway to your soul. And there is this incredible connection that you start having, almost like you become peaceful once you start communicating by speaking out loud with your soul. It's almost like your soul and your body, your mind and your energy start flowing together. And initially, super painful. Oh, extremely. Tears running down my cheeks. I couldn't speak my name out because this is very important. The subconscious knows your name very well because this is your part of your identity. So you, in whatever, if I journal, but also do mirror works, I always say my name out loud. So I always say, Piotr, I am proud that you, and I say 7 different things that I'm proud of. It could be from last day, the previous day, the last week, my entire life, whatever it is. And that connection that you start having, not fixing your hair, not putting your makeup on, not brushing your teeth and doing this. No. This has to be, I like to actually place my hands on my back, holding my hands back. So I'm like, I have no way to just start like, oh no, I'm scratching myself, fixing something. No. I'm fully in control here. So I'm like, I'm looking at myself and literally in a most peaceful, grounding way, start articulating, communicating what I'm proud of. Then I say, Piotr, I forgive you for it. And there's a lot of things that I have forgiven myself, and it's still a work in progress because it's all about the healing journey that we're on constantly and throughout our life. 7 things. And then I say, Piotr, I commit to you. I commit that I'm going to have a beautiful, heartfelt conversation with Andrea, and I'm going to be present, and I'm going to be really pouring from my heart, and I want as many people to be affected, inspired, and motivated to be happy as themselves by taking small little actions. So that was one of them. And then after that, what I do, I high-five myself. I high-five myself. I look at myself and I'm like, you got this. This is going to be your day. This is going to be a brilliant day. And you're going to be really attracting so many opportunities to shine your light for other people. So to bring out their light. And that practice right now, it has helped me tremendously with connecting deeper with myself, connecting with the sensations in my body, how I feel. If there's still something that is like twitching and I feel like, oh, a bit of resistance, I'm like, okay, let's go a little bit deeper with this. So it's just a beautiful practice. Be prepared because there can be a lot of releases that might be happening. And maybe today you want to say just one thing, whatever, Piotr, I'm proud that you showed up right now in front of this mirror and trying to do this stupid mirror work that this guy told to do, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to just do it. And that's fine. Sometimes you might have days when you want to do, I'm proud that you're here and yeah, I'm not feeling it, but it's okay. So it's a dialogue, communication. It's a beautiful understanding of where you're at and where you want to be, but you're very peaceful and grounded as you are right now. But having that kind of vision and that connection with your truest, most authentic self, it's just so precious because from that moment onwards, you're truly delivering from your most authentic self.
And thank you so much for sharing that exercise. I would say that exercise, it's one of my favorites because I do know it from Lisa Nichols from when I have done her Speak and Inspire quest. And then she
I did as well. Love it.
Oh my God. And as you said, when I've done it, I think it was back in 2018 or 19, something like that. And I have to admit, I haven't done it consistently. But when I've done it at that point, as you said, like tears and they were like rolling out. It was insane. And I was barely able to speak because we hold so much pain. And I would say, especially when it's about forgiving the self, forgiving yourself, we hold ourselves at such a high standard and then we criticize for our past experiences so much. So I highly, highly recommend to everyone that wants to create a deeper connection with self to do that exercise because it's beyond powerful. And thank you for sharing that and explaining it to our audience. So as I said, it's one of my favorites.
Oh, I do now. I have to say as well, I do it now. I was on an 8-hour flight and I was taking time in the bathroom to do that exercise. I hope nobody had to really go pass to the bathroom because I was like, yeah, Because what happens, what you said is something that I really want to touch on very, very briefly.
Yeah.
We have been listening so often to the critic in our head, in our mind, and we don't allow the cheerleader to come out. Mm-hmm. And being the cheerleading voice for your own actions, for your, we are so easy at like cheering for anyone else and just, oh yeah, high five you, hug you, pat, clap for you. And I am an advocate in all my sessions that I do. I make sure that what we're doing is we're switching and we're changing and we're interrupting that pattern. Critic, again, served us, but we want to feel that cheerleader right now. And that is the most beautiful way to see how you start cheering for yourself, because you start noticing and observing, again, going back to awareness, observing that actually everything that you've done so far in your life has brought you to this point in life. And there's actually things that you can be really, really appreciative and grateful for.
Exactly. And everyone has those things. You have so many things to cheer yourself on. So it's just a matter of looking at those things. And I know recently I told one of my clients to start keeping a journal of her accomplishment, because the same, she's so harsh on herself and doesn't see the progress. I'm like, okay, it's time to keep a journal with all the things you have accomplished, all the things that you have been working on. So you also see the visual, because if you just tell them in your mind is going to like, oh, it's not enough. Let's just focus on all the things that we haven't done. It's shifting that focus. And oh, can you believe it that we also just spoke for this an hour?
No, I cannot. I like, oh, in my mind, I'm like, oh, I also wanted to say this. And I also would like to give this tip. And I also want to share this, because this is also important. Like,
yes. Unfortunately, here we are almost to the top of the hour. But I would love for you to share, Piotr, what are some of the ways that you work with your clients? Do you work one-on-one? Do you work group? What are your offerings if people are interested in working with you and having that feeling and looking good?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways to work with me, and then throughout different ways of connecting via online, via force of being in each other's presence and doing events together. So basically, most of my clients are receiving an online version of Piotr. So we go into one of the streaming platforms, and I have the ability. And trust me when I say you can always book a discovery call. I think you can see it right now as well. But you can book a discovery call and we can go deeper in and we can identify your goals, your dreams, your visions, tap a little bit into your past and into your future, but understand as well where you want to head in regards to your mental well-being, physical health, and how you want to connect deeper with your breath. Because again, we haven't touched so much on the breath this time, next time. So I would, after the discovery call, we basically make a plan together. And now we can work together on a either 60-minute, 90-minute basis, online, live via Zoom. And what I mentioned as well, via Zoom or Teams or any of the platforms, because I have this ability to transition and transmute my energy to wherever you are. So my clients are in Zurich, Dublin, London, in Washington, in different places all around the world. And I do love to work with a person that, for example, cannot move out of their house or cannot go somewhere. You can have me online. We can have set a date, set a time, and we're there for 60, 90 minutes. And then we unravel and unpack you through movement, mindfulness, breathwork, and from beginners to intermediate to advanced. Nobody should be stopped, and you should contact me so we can go a little bit deeper on what we can do together to make you more content and happy and joyful in your physical being, and also connect with your highest consciousness and self. And then, yes, I do group sessions as well. So if you've got a group of friends or family members that want to go through a breathwork journey and really release that inner power and connect with that energy, please do. Again, I offer these as well. I do mental health talks throughout Europe and the States as well. So everywhere, online and in person, and retreats. And retreats is another big thing that I feel the connection is real. So I have the biggest to date retreat planned, which is in March 2024 in Mexico, in San Miguel de Allende, where we're going to go. It's called On the Healing Journey. And please follow the account as well, where me and this beautiful lady called Claudia, we're going to be working on not only all the modalities, but we're going to be lifting you up and helping you heal faster with all the tools and tips that I've shared already and way, way more. Cacao ceremony, temazcal, sauna, everything. Journaling, breathwork, movement, mindfulness, and me and my energy is so infectious. So it's all going to happen. So it's all, and there's also going to be an online course coming out very soon. So you can all tap a little bit into the energy of Piotr.
Amazing. So many things. So you guys have a lot of options. I'm sure you love this guy as much as me. So make sure you follow Piotr for his journey, for his tips, for just who he is. He's infectious energy. Just make sure you go and follow him and follow me as well for future podcast episodes with other amazing guests. And I'm so thankful for coming on again, for sharing with us so many incredible tips and tools, and for just giving your heart and soul to what you're doing, and for giving your beautiful energy. I really, really appreciate so much your time, and I appreciate all of you guys for listening. We really, really value your time, and I know you've got a lot for being here with us today. So thank you to each and every one of you. Thank you, Piotr. I love you. I appreciate you. And I believe so much in all of you.
Thanks for tuning in to Spiritual Changemakers Podcast. To stay connected and help us reach more people like you, please subscribe, follow, and leave a comment. Join our community of spiritual changemakers on social media to connect with like-minded individuals and continue the conversation. Remember, the power to create positive change is within you. Keep showing up as your best self, and let's keep the magic of change alive. Until next time.